But certainly fun for me to be able to come and speak. Hold on here a second. There we go. Okay, so we have a new year upon us. 2018 is here. 2017 is gone. Lots of memories from 2017 and some great memories to make in 2018. And on the back of your bulletins, for those of you that have a bulletin, you'll see several questions. They did it a little bit different than James. If you'll notice that the heading all start with C. So that's that part we're kind of alike in. But there's nothing to fill in there. I have done all the homework for you. You don't have to write anything down, any of that kind of stuff. It's all written there. And I thought that what we would talk about is there's going to be several passages that we go to, but let's go to the book of Haggai for right now. That's a book in the Old Testament. Anybody familiar with that, Haggai? It is the second shortest book in the Old Testament. Anybody know what the shortest book in the Old Testament is? Precisely. It's Obadiah. Yeah, Obadiah only has one chapter. Haggai has two. And in the book of Haggai, as soon as I get it here, we have some very interesting comments that Haggai has. And just a little bit of a quick background. Remember when James was talking about in Nehemiah, when he was going through Nehemiah with us and Ezra, and we had all that going on, and the building of the walls and building of Jerusalem. Haggai wrote about the same time. And remember, they were coming back from Babylon, the Babylon captivity, and all the people were coming back and they were rebuilding the city. Well, they had been there for quite a while. And remember, they were told in Jeremiah that they were supposed to kind of get used to the city, just be in the city, be a watchman for the city, be in the city. And so a lot of people did that. Well, when they came back to rebuild the temple and the city, some of those people didn't come back with them. And Haggai is speaking to those people. And this is what he has to say. Just a moment, I'm going to get to it. He's going to say what he has to say to him. Actually has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about, but it's very important that we find out what he has to say. don't go away. Hang with me. Hold it. There we go. Okay. Now we're there. All right. I forgot that this closes as I stopped working after when you shut it down. So. Okay, so this is, again, we're talking about the command to rebuild the temple. And we're going to look at verse 5 to begin with. Remember, with this background of Haggai, and I really suggest that you read Haggai because he's not very nice to the people here in his terminology and what he says to them and all that they're going through. But in verse 5, he says, "Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." So he goes through this and he talks about just what they should be doing. That they, how come they're not at the, you know, in Jerusalem? How come they're not doing all these things, basically? But he says, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little in verse 6. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So all these things are happening to them that he's talking about in verse 6. And he says, why? Consider your ways. Think about this. And that's what we're going to do today. That's the part that, and it looks like probably next week as well. It is up there. All right. Nice. Okay. So Haggai 1, 5, and 7 says, consider your ways. And we're going to look at that word consider. So I want to go forward here. There we go. Okay. So the word consider, it just has these meanings. And there's several words in the Aramaic and Hebrew that are used, but they're kind of like synonyms. And so we have think carefully about, it's to reflect on, it's to review in your mind some of these things. Review in your mind. What is it that you are doing? Okay? Here's Haggai, here's our word, consider your ways, and you can see those are in capital letters. That's why it's important to know those. And so when things are in capital letters, kind of supposed to mean something. Okay, consider your ways. And then I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 24, or you can read it off there if you want. It's probably easier for me to read it off there because of my, anyway. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. And behold, and this says, I'm not accusing anybody of being these things here, okay? I'm just reading what the book of Proverbs says, okay? By the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw, and I considered it. And so what he's saying there is, I considered it. I looked and received instruction. I considered it. I thought about this, you know, this field. It's all got thorns and all this kind of crazy stuff going on. And he says, and I looked, and then I received instruction. So what he says is, why is this field the way it is? How did it get all these thorns and stuff? And he answers his own question. He says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. When we see these things, we need to consider these things as we see our lives and what's going on around us, what's happening. Okay? And then in Job, we always got to go to Job. Hear this, O Job, stop and consider the wondrous works of God. That's part of what we're supposed to do. We are to consider these wonderful. We can't just pass by these wonderful works of God. And you know, in Alaska, I mean, we talk about it all the time. We drive from here to Anchorage, and it's absolutely gorgeous, the mountains and stuff. Some of our kids have moved away, and they say, well, what we miss is that drive from Anchorage to Kenai. And it's because it's so, I mean, the lakes and the mountains and the, it's great. Most of the time. There are some times we don't want to be in there. And then great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. And that word studied is that same general concept of the word consider. Studied, considered by all who delight in them. Okay, so now we get to the questions. What is one thing, as we think about considering, what is one thing you could do this year to increase your enjoyment of God? And we're not going to go around and have everybody, you know, give their reason. Just something I want you to consider, to begin to think about. In Nehemiah, it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Are you finding that in your life? What's one thing you could do? And as I thought about some of these things, maybe we could spend regular time in the Word. I'm sure that many of you are already spending some time in the Word, but maybe you could set aside a specific time, a specific place, and use that time in God's Word. I won't say. For me, I think I could use some of my alone time for that purpose. Typically, I get up earlier than Peggy does. I'm up at 4 o'clock. She's up at 6. And so that I have that kind of alone time, if you will, during that time. But oftentimes I don't use that time for the Lord. I mean there's just some important things that I've got to check. Basketball scores, to find out what's the latest on ESPN. I might even look at the local news. You know, that's important stuff. But those are things that I could do anytime. Okay. My alone time. What are you doing with those times when you're alone? Maybe it's, for some of you, maybe it's a journal. Maybe you could start a journal as you study, or as you read and pray, and begin a journal so you can begin to consider those things that God is talking to you about. Maybe for some of us, it's cultivating a thankful spirit. Something to think about, something to consider, a thankful spirit. You know, I read a book a couple, I guess I think it's a couple years ago now, may have been a little bit less, by Johnny Erickson. Many of you are familiar with her. When she was 18 or so, she dove off a platform, broke her neck, and was been a quadriplegic since then. And she talks about, been 50 years now, almost 50 years. Well, it's 50 years now for sure. And how she still considers the works of God and what a wonderful God we serve. And she has had to have people do everything for her for 50 years. It wasn't always like that. In the first couple of years, she was very, very bitter, never really turned totally away from God, but was very bitter about why this happened. And yet now you look at what has taken place in her life because she has trusted God for everything. She considers it a joy to serve the Lord, even as a quadriplegic. You know, and sometimes I look at that in my own life and I think, how do you cultivate that kind of a thankful spirit in those things? And we comparatively have so much. You know, how do we cultivate that? It's by considering those works, by thinking about those things that are there. Your next question under consider is, what's the single most important thing you could do to improve the quality of your family life this year? Now, I thought of a couple of things as I was going through this, and Peggy won't let me say them, and so I won't tell you some of the things that I thought could really increase or improve the quality of our family life. I'll leave those for your imagination. How about planning a regular time together? Set something up in advance where you know that, you know, whether it's once a month, once every couple of months, once a week, that you are going to spend time either with just your spouse if the kids are gone. Isn't it great when the kids are gone? You have that time. No, I'm just kidding. I love having the kids around. Not. And very intentional about that. Howard Hendricks, some of you may recognize that name, was a professor of New Testament at Dallas Theological Seminary for many, many, many years. And it's just if you want to read some good books or listen to some good sermons, there's a guy you could listen to. He asked his kids one time. He had, I don't know if he had three or four. I don't really remember. But what was great about me being a dad? You know, and he was expecting, you know, this. Well, it was that time you talked about. It was that sermon you gave, and the things came back. It was that drive we took, you know, where we ran off the road, you know, and it was that. You remember that time we went and got ice cream together, and we were just out there, and we spilled the ice cream, and then we dropped the Pepsi on the floor, and remember? And he's going, yeah. But those are the times that will bring a family together. And sometimes we need to plan those times. It's great when they happen spontaneously, and we can't always plan everything, but to have a specific time, that might be the thing that we need to do to improve the quality of family time throughout this year. How are your children or your grandchildren going to remember you? How are they going to remember you? What are they going to think about when they're asked that question? What legacy are you leaving for them? I think it's great, you know, our grandkids, they're, you know, some of them have gone off to school, some are married now, and they come back, and it just warms our heart to think that they want to spend time with us. They'll call us up and say, can we come over for breakfast? You know, can we have lunch? Can we have dinner? Could we have a snack? I don't know if they don't eat anywhere else or what, but it's just fun to have some fellowship with them around a meal, and they're the ones that initiate it. And of course, we love it. But will they know how much you esteem them? Will they know how much you prayed for them? Will they understand what the Lord means in your life? Next question, what's the most humanly impossible thing you will ask God to do this year? I think of so often that there are so many things that I am involved in, but it doesn't take a supernatural act of God to accomplish them. What is it that I want to be involved in that I cannot do on my own, that I absolutely have to depend on God to do? Is there something this year that you will ask God to do that is humanly impossible? Just consider it. Just consider it. Matthew 19:26 says, with God, nothing is impossible. Chuck this morning in church, you know, what is it? He was talking about the names of Jesus and said, do those names really mean anything to you? And we listed, probably 15 or 20 names, and we spent time on just the name Jesus. You know, the Lord saves. Does that really mean anything to us? And it's the same concept in this idea. With God, all things are possible. Do we really, really believe that? What is it this year that you will depend on Him? And I just kind of, again, made a little bit of a list. Global peace. Peace in America. Healing from cancer. To restore a marriage or restore a child's marriage. To save from drugs, alcohol, or sexual addiction. Forgiveness from someone who has wronged or hurt you. Reconciliation with a loved one. Some infertility, you know, something that's humanly impossible. Are you willing to trust God for that? What is it this year, as you consider the God of the impossible, to do? Okay, well, it's 12:15, and we're going to stop. We will pick up right where we left off almost next Sunday. Okay, with choose, and we'll just kind of review or consider a little bit, but I can say it's 12:15, it's a busy Sunday, Communion Sunday always is that way, and so I appreciate your attention, and we'll pick right up here next week. And the idea is that as we consider things, there's going to be some choices that we have to make. Now, if you choose to do one thing, that means that maybe you're not going to be able to do something else. And then once you choose that thing, you're going to have to commit to it. And that's where we'll pick up next week. Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. Your love is so, so amazing. And we thank you that you have shed it abroad in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Bless us this day. May we truly consider you and as we walk by those fields and our hearts would be changed. In Jesus' name, amen.